located at 23rd and Sealy. Please call the Galveston Peace Action Network at 409-763-0482 for more information. That's 409-763-0482.
Hello, this is Marty Levitt, author of Confessions of a Union Buster, and you're listening to Voices at Work on 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Good evening, Houston. You are listening to Voices at Work on 90.1 KPFT Houston. This is Ron Gagne.
And I'm co-host Tim Pagel.
And, well, as most of our listeners will know, we were preempted last week because of the madness. But we are back, and we're going to try and catch up on some of the labor news. We are at war, but there's another war that we cannot forget about, and that is the war against the working people. And we are here to start calling the shots in this war, make sure people are aware of it. One thing, I got some good news. I'd like to open with some good news. Miles Anderson with the UFCW, who we had on as a guest talking about the Walmart campaign, gave me a little news release that Walmart was ordered to remove anti-union language from their benefits materials. And this is the first, my understanding is this is the first decision against Walmart that is applied nationally. They've had many decisions against them for violating workers' rights. But this one is the first one where the judge has ordered a national remedy to its illegal anti-union tactics. One brother was reinstated to work. He was fired for supporting the union. It took him about 2 years to go through the process, but he was awarded his back wages and justification, you know, for being mistreated. So congratulations to the UFCW keeping up the fight. I believe here in the next couple of months there's going to be an action against some local Walmarts on a larger scale, so we'll keep you posted on that. Any friends of Walmart in here? No friends of Walmart. But Walmart workers, we definitely want to support the Walmart workers. I'm kind of flipping through some news reports here that there's this one deal I just got to mention. Circuit City's latest move to make its stores more customer friendly by staffing them with fewer salespeople. Oh, geez. And guess what? This is how they decided to decide which employees to let go. They decided to get rid of the salespeople who earned the highest commissions. Now, salespeople, of course, work on commissions. So they got rid of the people that sold the most merchandise. So, you know, one of the comments people say is, well, we don't want a union in here because then seniority will decide more than productivity. Well, these idiots at Circuit City, you know, they're getting rid of their most productive because they're also the highest earning. So they're getting rid of their higher paid workers and keeping low paid. And on it goes. And, you know, when you go to Circuit City, you know, just keep that in mind when you're looking for a salesperson and there's nobody around.
Okay.
Okay.
I guess I got to take a breath here. Before I pass out.
Yeah, I'm glad you made it, Tim.
That was record time. I think it was like 9 minutes.
It was amazing. Just for our listeners, Tim called, said he was running late. He's got to finish his route before he comes in, and he just
got to keep America rolling.
Keep it rolling. He just barely got here, folks, and it is really amazing. Hopefully, the HPD is not on their way to give you a ticket. A couple of things I just want to give a heads up to. Coming up next week, I believe it's next week. Yes, April 3rd, Thursday, 6 p.m. at the Harris County AFL-CIO Council. They're going to be having an organizational discussion and committee meeting for the Immigrant Workers Freedom Ride on the Road to Citizenship.
Immigrants?
Immigrants. Excuse me. So anybody's interested in that, I mean, it's making fun of me here, and it's talking about something very serious. Anybody that's interested in this really needs to go to www.immigrantworkersfreedomride.com or contact the Harris County Center for Labor Council. I believe this ride is going to be, I didn't get the date. I believe it's going to be in June, towards the end of June, but I could be corrected on that. But the planning meeting is going to be next week, April 3rd. So anybody that's interested in finding out more about that, either check the webpage, immigrantworkersfreedomride.com, or call the Harris County Central Labor Council, and they can fill you in on the details.
Well, I'm glad to be back in the saddle tonight after being preempted last week. It's I don't know if you had an opportunity to listen to Rourke this afternoon. He played some badass rock and roll and blues and kind of got me out of a funk. These last couple of weeks, I'm sure everybody has been in a deep funk, and it's just like, you know, you just want something to kind of to lift it, and it helped. It hasn't gone away. It's still there. We're in some very trying times, and it's good that we're all back here tonight, that maybe we can talk about some of these issues that are real important. I mean, because we, you know, we still got to deal with this, no matter what's going on the other side of the world. I mean, life does go on here. I mean, there's nothing I think that Shrub would like for us to do just to totally distract us, so they can do a complete shell game and completely take everything off the table for us here on the home front.
I'm glad you mentioned that. There's only one war that we should be fighting, and that is the war against working people. And that, to me, is a just war, and it's one that we've got to get involved in. And amen to you, brother. I've been in a little bit of a funk about the situation as well. And the way that public opinion or public attention is so easily distracted from the problems here, you know, and we cannot let them get away with it. People have heard me talk about the overtime changes and the overtime laws. They want to, part of their proposal is to exclude previously protected workers by reclassifying them as managers, administrative, professional employees. For the first time, exclude certain middle income workers from overtime protections by adding an income test. You know, these are attacks that they think they can slip in under this patriotism garbage. Saying that, and not that I think patriotism is garbage, but fake patriotism is. When any lawmaker says that we need to do this, and if you vote against it, then you're not a patriot, that's garbage. Voting is patriotic. I mean, which way you vote, it doesn't matter.
The way I kind of see this is kind of getting their foot in the door, getting a wedge in to where are we going to go in 6 months from now or a year from now with the overtime and getting back in, getting that flex time, that comp time in there once again that the Republicans have been pushing for a number of years, to where we could possibly wind up to where in the not-too-distant future we won't even have any overtime in this country? I mean,
it's possible. It can happen. And people need to wake up to that fact. But there's a lot of actions that people can get themselves involved in to be part of this fight. I don't mind losing a fight so much as I don't like not fighting in the fight. You know, the old saying, I'd rather die on my feet than to live on my knees. Well, you know, I've heard people say that about Iraq and all this other stuff. But they're not willing to do that here. They're not willing to stand up for themselves right now, today. And they can do it. The opportunity's here.
Well, I came from a family of six. I had five older brothers. I am the baby of the family. And I learned at a very early age that it was better to get my butt whooped and go down fighting than to have to go home and tell them that I didn't fight, because I had to take five of them on when I got home. So, you know, I learned that lesson early. You know, you might as well just go ahead and stay in for the fight, because you have some dignity, you have some honor, you know, and it plays out well throughout life.
Exactly. One thing I want to mention before we get to our guest, which we will in just 1 minute, is I want to give a heads up to our listeners. On April 16th, there's going to be a demonstration at Coca-Cola's annual meeting. It's going to be at the Four Seasons Hotel on Wednesday morning, April the 16th, about 8:45 to 10:15 a.m. And the reason for this is the union workers that are being killed in Colombia. It's not against Coca-Cola here in the United States, but it is about what's going on in Colombia, where there are union leaders and activists being killed left and right. And in a week or two, we'll have a guest on to talk more about what is going on down there and why this is important. But again, we need to make sure that people turn out to these things and not allow these battles to go unnoticed, and to make sure that we help spread the word that We're not going to allow this in this country. And that's where that is.
Are we going to have to take some phone calls tonight?
Yes, we will be taking calls probably about the bottom half of the hour. Anybody wants to get on hold and be first in line is more than welcome to. 713-526-5738. We're going to have, we've got them right here. We've got Todd Rogers and Mark Hammond from the International Association of Machinists. And they're going to talk to us about, well, we had them on last year when Westwood College was going through an organizing drive and went through a bitter anti-union campaign. And why don't you tell us about what happened with that?
Thank you, Ron. We're glad to be back. So thank you for having us again. Basically, we made it through the campaign. They haven't quit, though. They're on Part B of how to keep a union out of the workplace. We're still dealing with the law firm that was trying to keep the union out of there. And several months now, we've been in negotiations trying to reach a first agreement for those employees. We started out by proposing an entire agreement at those negotiations, and it wasn't a reasonable. It was reasonable agreement. It wasn't where we were in there trying to get everything. It was just standard language that we have in collective bargaining agreements at other locations. In fact, it's right out of another location's instructors that were covered under this agreement.
So there's other companies working under this agreement and making money.
Exactly. Exactly. And we haven't even got to the money yet. We haven't even been able to get the company to agree to a grievance procedure so that the people can air their differences at that job site. The lawyer, the law firm that they've hired is making buku bucks. I've heard, and I don't know whether it's fact or not, that it's somewhere around the neighborhood of $450 an hour to do his job. And basically, his job is to not get a contract. His job is also to try to frustrate everybody with being represented by the union.
Well, see, that's something that I find interesting and very telling is Westwood College, they've got, what, 5-6 locations around the country?
That's correct.
And they're used to negotiating deals. I mean, I'm sure, you know, they get money from HCC, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
So they negotiate contracts all the time.
Right. And there's probably a contract with the attorney in the school, too, on the job he's doing now.
How many
other campuses are unionized, if any?
With that organization, I don't believe there's any at this point. I think this was the first. And I think that's why they've made such a stand on trying to keep it out. They don't want it to spread.
Have you had an election?
Yes, we have had an election. We won the election.
You won the election, but yes. they won't bargain.
They won't bargain. They're calling it bargaining. They're dragging out the bargaining process. They're trying to reach a time limit in there, which is 1 year, so that they can go back and try to run a decert on that unit. It's one of the tactics that union busting companies employ when they come into a facility when they're brought in. They try to drag the negotiations on and on. They like surface bargain with you. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll throw some stuff out there. They know there's nobody could live with the language they put on the table. We, on the other hand, did try to put language down on the table that they could live with. It's just like a management's right clause, which is a clause that comes into the contract. Basically, we proposed one in the very first day that we came into negotiations because we understand that management has to have some rights to manage their facilities. They came in with a 4-page document that has management's rights that are so extreme you wouldn't need a contract.
That shocked me. When I saw this management rights clause that they wanted, it's four almost 5 pages long. In the first page, pretty much nullifies any contract that you could get because it gives them the right to make every decision unilaterally.
That's correct.
And, to me, that's real telling that they are just, Jackson Lewis is just, they're charging their billable hours.
Yes.
So every hour that they can stall this thing and drag it out right to the end, they make a ton more money. Is that right?
That's correct. The longer it goes on, the more money they can make.
Now tell our audience and myself as well what Westwood College does. I mean,
They have instructors that train students on how to repair airplanes. So it's a technical school is what it is.
Okay, and airplanes in particular, like commercial or...
Commercial planes. Airplane mechanic, if he knows how to work on a plane, he can pretty much work on any plane.
Okay.
If they're going for AMP licenses.
Okay.
Yeah.
So students would go to school and get their ANPs perhaps at Westwood, and mm-hmm. they might go to work at Southwest or Continental or a charter service.
Exactly. Government contract, working on government planes.
See, that's what kills me is here that this college is training these people, and this is a for-profit college, correct?
Correct.
I mean, there's people making money on this deal, and they go out and they recruit students by saying, look how much money you can make if you learn how to work on these vehicles, on these airplanes and engines. And the vast majority of people that work on those are covered by the Machinist Union, correct?
That's correct.
So they're talking out of both sides of their head, aren't they?
Exactly. That's correct.
So,
you know, another thing, Ron, too, is that we did, you know, we talked about the instructors. You know, we also have the maintenance crew out there that works on the maintenance of the facility, of keeping the facility running, and the lab technicians, and also the janitor out there. We're all part of the bargaining unit, so wanted to make sure that everybody knew that they were involved in it, too. I know you did, Ron.
Oh, yeah.
And that's an important part, too, is keeping and maintaining the facilities at the school, so...
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make an assumption here that this school gets some subsidies from the federal government as well.
That's mm-hmm. correct. They do. That's correct. And it's a substantial amount of money. I don't remember the exact figures. I have seen them, but I don't remember them, so I'm not going to try to quote them here.
Yeah. Well, the fact is that they are getting some government money. They are getting Houston Community College money, and they are wasting a lot of it on union busters. And the thing is, people need to understand is, like I was talking about earlier, you know, these people are used to negotiating contracts with HCC, with all these different people they deal with. But when it comes to a union, they hire a sharpshooter to try and take them out. I mean, this is not your average lawyer. This law firm, and I would encourage our listeners to go to www.jacksonandlewis.com and read about these scum and find out what they're about.
I would too. It's a very interesting webpage.
And if you do a Google search for Union Busters, you will find Jackson and Lewis's name coming up. They are the high dollar crew, buddy.
And the one that we've got across the table from us is one of the managing partners of that law firm. So, you know, he seemed to think that he's fooling everybody when he's there, but and he's a very interesting person. You know?
Well, I'm sure that's one way of putting it.
Now, one of the questions that I have about the employees there that we try to do in the movement is, of course, educating our brothers and sisters. Now, what are y'all doing to educate them, of course, about their rights and about what y'all can do to enhance their working conditions and whatever else that representation can provide? But educating about this union buster
they've pretty much been educated about that. That takes place in the phase of when we're coming in to organize somebody. We have to be prepared for that because it happens all over the nation.
Yeah.
You know, anytime we go after a group to try to represent them, to bring them better wages, benefits, retirements, and a little bit of security on the job, we have to let them know up front what they're going to get hit with, because it's terrifying for somebody that doesn't know anything about what's going to happen. They can't even imagine. And even after we tell them up front what's going to happen to them, it's still hard to believe that it really happens when you're on a work site, to see the kind of threats that you get on the job. They'll bring lawyers in. It stands in the middle of the floor and directs them on how to treat the employees, It really gets wild, you know, the kind of, and then their livelihood's threatened. You know, they feel like their jobs are going to be gone, and they will. They'll go in and they'll fire somebody just to intimidate everybody. It takes us a while. It is against the law. We do file charges to represent those employees to try to get them their job back at that facility with the NLRB, but that takes time. So the effects, the company the attorneys will go in there and tell them, you know, the union busting attorneys will go ahead and fire them because it's still going to send such a strong signal to those other employees that are in that workshop that he did get fired and they can't afford to go without all the money and stuff. They got to take care of their family. That sometimes destroys your whole organizing drive.
Right. So it's a shame that you couldn't afford to have a copy of Marty Levitt's book to give every employee a copy of when you're going on a campaign.
That's correct. And that's something we're going to have to do. We're going to have to look into. We do show them films. We do sit down with them and educate them. We let them know the kind of literature that's going to be coming out and hitting them because they mail stuff to their houses, into their wives, and try to get their whole family upset behind it and at them.
Now, let me ask you something. Of course, Marty Levitt, we interviewed him on the show, and I've read his book and seen some videos. And what he says is that anytime a union buster is hired, nothing that goes out on company letterhead to the employees is written by the company. But the union buster will write a letter and say it's from, you know, Joe Blow Foreman to his crew.
Right.
And then each different low-level manager will have something written for him by the union buster with his name on it and go out to the employees. Do you find that that's going on out there at all?
I'm sure, yeah. Back when the organizing drive, my organizer sitting here with us, I'm sure that some of that hit during the campaign because it does in all of them. You know, when they hire somebody like this to come in, that is their job. Their job is to try to keep it. In fact, that's one of their things on the webpages is that you call us, we can keep you union free, you know.
If you got deep pockets.
Yeah, if you got deep pockets. And, you know, I'm sure the guys are already upset because he failed at the first part of this thing, and that was keeping it out completely before it even got to an election, you know, or failing at the election. So now this is part two. Well, okay, he's happened to go back and tell his client, you know, hey, sorry, guys, we did get past this point. But they won't be able to get a contract either, you know, I mean.
And of course, every meeting they attend, every letter they write, those are all billable hours. So they're making more money on this gig.
And I just got a four-page
letter. That's what I was just fixing to say. You got an interesting letter on the bargaining that was going on just the other day. While Todd was out of town, and I actually called him and let him know about it. And this was something that was supposedly written by, you know, had the Westwood letterhead on it, and basically Bob Pym's name. I mean, it was actually by this Antone.
Right,
Chris Antone.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the more pages that he writes, you know, the longer it spends, you know, the more money he's charging, you know. So, and a lot of times, you know, like we talked about last time at Mike Calvert, you know, when we were doing the Mike Calvert Toyota, a lot of these companies don't understand what these union busting law firms are doing. You know, they come in there and actually scare the companies into thinking that the union's going to come in here, the union's going to take over this company, you're not going to have any control over it. And the fact is, we don't know anything about teaching school or running that school or anything else. All we're there to do is try to help the employees with wages, working conditions, their benefits. And everything that I heard from these guys when we were organizing wasn't about money. It was more about dignity and respect on the job.
And giving them a voice.
Exactly.
That's the thing that employers are so afraid of, is that their employees will have a voice, a little say in how their company is run, you know, and how they'll take care of business.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny, they always ask, what do you think? How should we make things work better? How should we do this? We need your input.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they really don't want to know a lot of times, you know, unless it's a good idea, then they want to take credit for it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Well, now, I'm going to give out that number again if you have any questions about what's going on. And this is something, the procedure that's going on, it happens during many, many organizing campaigns. That number is 713-526-5738. We will be taking calls shortly.
And I would like to say something, too, while we're on the subject about the companies being scared, too. I agree with that. I think a lot of times that the companies don't know what they've gotten themselves into when they hire one of these firms to come in and help them. And we try to get across to the companies, but they won't even let us near them, really, by ourselves. to try to let them know that, hey, we're not in there to rake them over the coals. Yes, we want some changes in that workplace. That's what we were called in for, was because obviously they weren't handling their employees correctly and they weren't treating them right, or we wouldn't be there to start with. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we're going to expect changes, but we're not in there to run your whole facility and to take over everything, you know. So, but you can't get near them when they've got somebody in there in their place making all the money. Mm-hmm. Off of them, you know. I mean, it's a trapped audience. So. Yeah.
Well, they make them think that these that this contract is gonna put them out of business. When in fact, obviously, it's going on in other parts of the country with other companies, and everything's just going fine.
Just fine.
And you know, I mean, I don't believe this whole garbage about the company's got to have all rights and all power in order for them to make money. That's garbage. Southwest Airlines.
Oh, absolute power.
Southwest Airlines is the most unionized airline in the country.
Yep.
They're also the only one that's making money.
That's right.
So
they were hiring people when everybody else was going down the tubes.
They were. They're kind of, money's looking a little red nowadays, but it's...
They're not losing money yet.
Well,
yeah.
But we're going to take a short break, but... And when we come back, we're going to talk about an action. These people have to get a first contract soon before the 12-month period ends. And we're going to help them do it. So we're going to listen to a song by Joe Ulin. It's off of the Two Roads CD. It's called Hold the Fort. We are coming, and we're coming to help.
And give us a call at Voices at Work.
713-526-5738. We'll be back in just a few minutes. If the song ever starts. Okay, well, we're holding the fort while the song gets started.
Look around you.
There we go.
You are not alone. Behold your numbers as far as the eye can see. You are working men and women who have come here with your friends and your allies because you care deeply about the course of your country. Your testimony must be heard.
Hold the fort, for we are coming. Union workers, be strong. Side by side, we'll battle onward. Victory will come.
Today in freedom's cause and raise our voices high. We join our hands in union's
communities and to build a new mandate for a just and humane America in the spirit of solidarity forever.
Okay, that was Hold the Fort from Joe Euland's Two Roads CD. I thought it was appropriate. Why we got to hold the fort? We're coming. When are we coming, brother? When are we going to go out there and support those workers to get a first contract?
Tuesday night at 6:30 p.m. We need all the help we can get out there to try to rally the troops and put some pressure on this company to give us an agreement.
This is in the evening, so no excuses. If you're not working a night shift, you can be there. That's Tuesday. It's coming Tuesday, April 1st, 6:30 p.m., 8880 Telephone Road. That's right across from Hobby Airport on Telephone Road.
It's at the corner of Brisbane. There's a red light right there. It's Brisbane.
Brisbane?
Brisbane and Telephone Road.
Is it always red?
Yeah. Well, they were steadily running it out there.
Now that's the place that used to have an airplane hanging on a pole out there. Do they still have that?
I didn't see one. I don't know. I mean, I didn't spend much time on Telephone Road when I was growing up, so I don't know.
Well, I used to drive by there going to the apprenticeship school, yeah. And I know they used to. I don't know if they do anymore, but it's not going to be too hard for people to find.
Right.
Telephone Road, just south of Airport Boulevard. 6:30 p.m. We need hundreds of people out there,
yeah.
Just to wake them people up and make them know, let them know that we are not going to stand by and allow them to stop this process.
Well, this is not good that people are losing their jobs, but there are a lot of people that are losing their jobs, that are out of work, and you know this would be kind of one of those good times when. You know, come out and support your fellow workers. You know, it's amazing when you come out in solidarity how you that kind of just.
First, this isn't just a union issue. This is a nationwide issue. People that have got jobs now are losing their retirements, losing everything they have. And if this things keep going the way they are, there's not going to be anything left. You mentioned the overtime provisions being changed, being paid for overtime, but they're also after the Family Medical Leave Act. They're after the retirement funds, the cash balance plans for retirement funds so that they can get out from any kind of retirement at the corporations. And if you read the articles, it says that he's being pushed by all the corporations to do this. There was one other one that I forgot. It was the unemployment, some kind of overhaul on the unemployment insurance. So there's no telling what that is. I haven't figured out if they're going to try to starve some more people or not.
I have no doubt about that. I just want to give that phone number out again real quick. 713-526-5738. We'd love to have your comments and questions about what's going on here.
Ron, one thing I did want to say is I wanted to thank the guys. We've been out there all week. In front of Westwood, anybody that saw us out there carrying signs that said, you know, Westwood unfair to employees. We had a lot of honks from the people. I want to thank them for honking and waving coming by, but I especially want to thank the guys that were out there with me. You know, Hector, Preston, Greg, Mark. I mean, these guys were out there, you know, in the heat, and we were out there for
seafarers.
The seafarers showed up there, and we'd shut it down for the day because it started raining. And they showed up, and Todd got back into town and said, "Hey, where were you at? You were not on." These guys said you weren't there. I said, "Well, that was the day I called you and told you that we shut it down early." He said he didn't remember. I said, "Todd's got too much stuff going." But I also wanted to say that when the people come out there, there's not a lot of parking. So what we did was actually talk to the guy next door that I wanted to thank him too, because he let us park in his parking lot. A guy by the name of Richard, I don't know the name of the bar next door, and there's also a 777 gaming room there. The guy came out there and told us he was going to tow our vehicles, and walked up there and talked to the guy. And one of the signs that I had on there said, "Employees tired of games." And he walked, when I walked over to him, he said, "What are y'all out here doing?" I told him that we got an informational picket going on Westwood, you know, that we had organized these guys and we're trying to get a contract. And he told me, "Well, that ain't got nothing to do with me." And I said, "No, it doesn't." And he said, "Why do you got games on that on that picket side?" He thought he had a game room, you know, and he thought we were picking. And then he told me his brother was in the union, and he told us we could park over. So anybody that comes over there, I don't know the name of the street. It's the street before Brisbane, but there's a little bar there and a little gaming room, and there's parking. He's got a parking lot in the back.
Yeah,
the guy was store. The guy was super nice to let us come over there and said, yeah, come on and park. No big deal.
Fantastic. So there's plenty of available parking. No reason why people can't show up and support these people and get in this fight. That's the important part, is help these brothers out. We're going to go to line one. David, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Yourself?
Not too great. But, you know, I just think the AFL-CIO and the IBEW have done a lot to fight against workers' rights, really, and have done really a lot to cooperate with the military-industrial complex all through the 90s, and then kind of sold everyone down the river. I was just wondering, when you first noticed that Enron was a criminal organization, and was it, and was that before or after you pulled your investments out, you know, and,
Well, I don't see what this has to do with our topic tonight.
Well, you know, the war on terrorism, you know, came up, and the AFL-CIO and the IBEW said that that really wasn't their business, even though, you know, it's kind of, it's really kind of ridiculous to operate a union during a war.
Were you in either one of those? Were you in the IBEW? Or?
Sure, I was. It was a place where you could get fired for making safety complaints, and the workers are really just a gang of people with a lot of I support the troops kind of opinions, very influenced by the
media. I have to disagree with you on that.
People in the AFL-CIO and that really do a lot to exploit workers in a gang that serves the interests.
Well, David, I'd be glad to talk to you about this on an open forum night, but it's kind of disrespectful to my guests to be totally off topic for what we're discussing here tonight. So we'll have an open forum in next month or so. Feel free to call back, and we'll debate the issue. The thing is, you know, I'm a member of IBEW 716 here in Houston, and IBEW fights for workers all over this town.
Yeah, they're always out there helping us.
It's just ludicrous. There's nobody else fighting for workers. Yeah. There's some religious organizations, the National Interfaith Committee for Worker Justice, which is helping a lot. But, you know, I just don't understand that, and I apologize for that. It had nothing to do with tonight's topic. But
I couldn't figure out where he was going.
Yeah, you know, some people, they...
Well, we're keeping his topic going.
It's Friday night, and people get to drinking, and they get mad, or, you know, stuff happens. But back to what's going on out there, because I think this is very critical. We, in the labor movement, many of us, myself included, I got in the union through an application to the JTC, the training program, and I didn't have to fight. I filled out an application, got accepted. I didn't have to fight to have a union, to have a contract. I just started working under one. And I think I took it for granted for a long time. And I think most people do, union members here in Houston, who do have the benefits, they didn't have to fight to get them. And they don't, it's like they don't care about the fight. And we need to change that attitude.
Exactly. I was talking to my father today, and we were talking about that. You know, a lot of these young guys come in to a shop and go to work, and they come in, you know, $19, $20 an hour, you know, that they're making. And They don't understand what our forefathers and the people before us had to fight and scratch and claw to get. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I didn't have to do that. But at the same time, they think that the company handed them this stuff, you know? I mean, and this caller that called in, I mean, I asked him if he was part of one of these unions. But was he a dues paying, was he just a dues paying member? Did he get involved? Did he, you know, it's not to say that there's not any union problems out there that we don't have within our unions. But at the same time, if there's those issues out in your shop and you think that things are being, get involved. Go to the meetings, you know, run for offices. You know, that's the only way you're going to change it. If you just sit back and wait for somebody else to do it, it's not going to happen.
Exactly.
It's a democracy.
And the union doesn't fire you for safety violations. It's the company.
Yeah, unions don't fire people.
I didn't
ever
know that the union
fired
anybody.
But, so, yeah, I mean,
And that's why I'm so passionate about getting a lot of people out there, because, you know, these people are having to fight for this first contract. Yeah. And if what happens? What happens when they get to that 12-month mark? Does the company just say, I don't have to negotiate with you anymore? Or?
Well, they get the employees to actually file for, you know, file for a decert. If you already have some people in there that were against it to begin with, which we didn't win it unanimously, you know. I mean, you had some people that were against it. And we've had some that have come over, too, that you know, weren't sure about it. And at the same time, you know, it's a little less tension now than what it was during the organizing drive, but at the same time, it's still there.
Some more billable hours.
More billable, yeah. Now, I tell you what, looking at this proposal that they put forth and knowing some of the tactics of Jackson and Lewis, are they pushing you to a strike? Are they just going to push it to that?
That's what it seems like at this point, yes. And that's why we started trying to move things up a little bit. We still got some meeting dates with them. We're still trying to reach an agreement with them, setting some dates, but that's why we had the informational picket. That's why we're asking for all the support on Tuesday. At some point, we're going to have to stop this little venture of wasting time at the negotiating table.
Well, see, that's one of the tactics, too. It's not just for billable hours, but they want to waste the union's time and money as much as possible.
That's correct.
If we can put enough pressure to bear, we can stop that and get them to be honest and actually decide we're going to negotiate. That's really all you're trying to do, is just get them to negotiate, because you did file. Did you file an unfair labor practice?
Well, we have, yeah. They should be getting copies of that real soon. We filed on that. Our legal pretty much thinks that the management rights clause proposal is illegal, just on its face. For proposing it in negotiations, and I informed their attorney of that at the table, and we have filed charges. So we're going to do everything we can to try to get an agreement again. Those people have a right to have a union representing them. We're in there trying to get a reasonable agreement with that company. I'm hoping that some of the higher-ups in the company snap up to what's going on at that facility instead of wasting all the time and money to keep dragging this thing out, because you know, it just doesn't serve a purpose at all.
I'm curious about the instructors, their background. I mean, they're essentially their teachers.
Are they
former military?
Ex-mechanics?
Tell us a little bit about those. I mean, because
they're mechanics that have come out, and some of them have left the actual doing the mechanic work, and now they're instructors.
Like in the government, the military?
Some are in the government, some with the airlines, you know.
So they've got years and years of experience with their craft.
That's correct.
And now they're teaching, trying to teach the next generation of mechanics.
Exactly.
So,
And these are the people that repair and make sure that those planes stay in the air, that they don't have malfunctions.
That's right. You can't have malfunctions in there. Yeah, they're very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to pass on to the next generation, you know, the stuff that they learned in all those years of working. And they're just like, you know, like Mark keeps bringing up, the issue, and it's not that they do need more money, too, for what they're doing, but the issues that we're on, we haven't even gotten to that. We haven't even got past the language part, just to put some protections in there for the employees. You know, that a grievance procedure when they do have problems, you know, that they can go forward with the company. It's been really ridiculous. You'll sit in there for 4 hours at a time, 5 hours. You might see the company come in, you know, once in that time. They'll go off and they'll take a lunch break for 2 hours and, you know, come back in and pass one piece of paper across the table, and you can't live with any of it, you know, and it's just really been a joke.
Now, when did negotiations start? How long has this actually been going on?
We've been in there probably 6 months now, 6 to 7 months in negotiations.
For something that should have been negotiated in 3 weeks.
You can do that, yeah. I have negotiated first agreements in that length of time with companies. If they were trying to really get an agreement, we'd have an agreement.
I mean, this is not, you know, a contract for rebuilding the whole state of Texas. I mean, it's not like as if it's that complicated.
That's correct.
I'm sure they've negotiated contracts a whole lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
It's a matter of
desire. But you have to have the right law firm in there.
Yeah, and the right desire to actually reach an agreement.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be somebody in there that's trying to reach an agreement, somebody that's not. I mean, that's not the, it's obviously not the goal, you know. Mm-hmm. And I have responded to them on a letter that they wrote to me about that fact. If they really were so good at what they were doing and knew what they were doing, why don't they have an agreement yet?
How many employees are we talking about?
We have right at 27, 28. You know, 27 is the exact number.
Well, it was 27 when we organized it.
Yeah.
And that's the instructors, lab technicians, maintenance, and janitorial.
Right. That's correct.
The whole gamut of everybody out there.
Exactly.
Have they done any other tactics or shenanigans like others do with like pay raises or you know, we've talked about trying to scare employees, but
they did that that's stuff that happens before the election. Now they're at the discouragement stage. See, your union can't do nothing for you. See, you know, I mean, we're not getting anywhere. You know, the letter that they put out last week was psychology. You know, I mean, they're out there trying to discourage them, and they wrote some pretty derogatory statements about the union inside the letter. Sent it out to all the employees, you know, a copy of what they sent, you know, to try to get them discouraged. They came into they even set it across the negotiating table to try to discourage the negotiating team, you know, to make them think that they weren't going to get anywhere either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just, it's all ploys. You know, it's like a show, really. It's like going through it reminds me of somebody that's in a drama class, you know, where they've gone through to learn how they're going to act and what they're going to do, and then they play out these little scenarios and these little games, and it's really something for somebody to see.
I mean, is there any other strategies that y'all have to go outside your normal procedures when it comes to negotiating as far
direct
as...
Direct action.
Direct actions in bringing in, like, different church groups or other organizations that might help with the cause or...
Well, we're basically at the point now that if we don't get something here pretty soon, we're going to strike them. We're going to shut them down. That's basically really your only major action that you can take against an employer that's not going to sit down and do anything. You know?
Because, I mean, even the informational pickets that we've had out there a week, they their employees have been told, whether it be the management part of the employees, you know, they hadn't even paid attention to us. They didn't even bring it up at negotiations. I mean, I don't think any of it's, you know, the attorneys have told them, hey, look, you know, I mean, just keep doing what, you know, business as usual. Don't worry about it. We'll handle it all.
See, that's the thing. We need to turn the lights on.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
and expose these people for what they are and for what's really going on. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be out there shouting as loud as I can to these people.
Well, the bottom line is that people as a whole are going to have to start standing up for themselves. That's basically what a union's about, is pulling people together to unite for a common cause of everybody that's in that facility and all around. It's not just in that facility that this is happening. You know, I just wish we could get more education out to the people, because everything they hear, they always hear negative. You know, well, everything's not negative about a union, but, you know, I mean, it's not perfect, and nothing is perfect, but at least it's working towards trying to help people on the jobs to make a better life for their families. You know, and obviously just by reading the newspaper, you can see what's happening to everybody out there, you know, so people need to snap up, because there is no loyalty in this country towards a working person at any of the facilities. Maybe I better not say any. There's got to be somebody. There's got to be a few good places out there. You get kind of negative after you see so much, after so many years.
Yeah,
you see so much bad.
Certain leaders are surely not setting a very good example. That's for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, it's sad. You know, it's all about power and money.
Well, it doesn't really sound like the issue here isn't about money with the workers.
That hadn't been the main issue.
Yeah, the main issue.
Right. That's correct. And it wasn't,
because given the loss of jobs in this country, I mean, I can't imagine, you know, unless you're working for peanuts,
right,
many workers wanting to go on strike nowadays.
Exactly.
That's correct.
But they're being forced to do it.
First of all, let me tell you something. Workers don't want to go on strike anyway. Mm-hmm. Unions don't want to even get into that arena. That's not our goal. Our goal in life isn't to go out and strike a company. The only thing is that if you don't stand up at some point, in fact, they just don't respect the employees. They don't even think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, hey, as long as we're making good money and as long as we can control all those people in there, this is what we're going to do.
It kind of sounds like what the emperor is, how he is acting with the people around the world. He just totally ignores them and just goes about doing what he wants to do, huh?
Yeah.
Total disregard for what people's opinions are.
Well, man, an hour goes by quick, fellas.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure people know that the street heat is going to be Tuesday, April 1st, 6:30 p.m., Westwood Aviation College, 8880 Telephone Road. I've got it posted on the website, so please go visit voicesatwork.net. It did get updated finally. Thank you, Rob, for updating the webpage for me. We'd like to thank Rob Lawrence and John Swaggart for being here and helping us get the show on. There's a lot of new information posted on the website, so please go through and read it. You'll get the address for the street heat. For the soon, I'll be posting about the April 16th action against the Coca-Cola annual shareholders meeting. Please turn out for that.
I want to give a special thanks to my Chevy van for not breaking down, for getting me here as hard as I drove her.
You must have been driving really fast
and not getting caught.
Good. That's the best part.
I'd like to thank the Harris County FLCO too for getting this stuff out and helping us. You know, Richard Shaw and Dale Wortham also. So.
Yeah. Well, and I would like to challenge our caller who kind of went off on us to come out there to the street heat. We're going to be there. We're going to be fighting for these workers. I want to know if you're going to be there and help these workers too. That's what it's going to take, is for everybody to get involved. And we're going to close out with Union Made. And this is Ron.
And this is Tim Pagel. Until next week,
peace.
Sarah who made the raid went to the union hall when a maidenhead was called. And when the company boys came around, she always stood her ground. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh, no, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die. To the tricks of company spies, couldn't be fooled by companies too. She'd always organize the guys, always get her way. She struck for higher pay. Show her card to the National Guard, and this is what she'd say. Oh, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union. Oh no, you can't scare me, I'm sticking to the union. I'm sticking to the union till the day I die.
Years ago, Peter Singer, professor of bioethics at Princeton, spoke up for the voiceless when he